Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom, V'ikadamre. The Ikadamre references back up to the Gemara, the statement of Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zayar, Shideret Amaracha, Chayav. So that's where we started. There in that Gemara, we had Matkifla Rabbi Zera, V'chesh Yesh Lecha Avodash K'shera B'layla, P'sula B'zar. Is there such a concept of having an Avodah that it's K'shera at night and also should be P'sula B'zar? The two seem to be inconsistent. Here the Gemara says, "Yigda Amrei Mati Flo Rabbi Zera v'chi Yesh Lecha Avodah Shiyesh Achrei Avodah Upsula Bizar." Is there such a thing as an avodah that has another avodah after it, meaning it's not an avodah tama and psula bizar, and it's problematic for a zar? As Rashi points out over here, what it means psula bizar means, of course, it could be psul bizar. That's not the problem. The question is, it's chayav mita bizar, and that's the issue over here. Do we have an avodah that's not an avodah tama that you are chayav mita for? Whereas before the question was posed, can you have that inconsistency between that it's an avodah that's kshera b'layla, which implies that it's not avodah, and then we have not kshera b'zar, which implies it is an avodah. That was the question for over here. The question is not whether it's an avodah, it's a question of whether a zar can be chayav mita for such an avodah, because it's not an avodah tama. It's not a complete and finishing avodah. So if that's the case, you shouldn't be chayav mita for it. Now, according to Rashi, on the top of Chav Chet 2, 4, the next 4.5 lines are eliminated from the Gemara. And the Gra, you can see that the Ot of Aleph in the Gra eliminates them as well. Because as Rashi says, lo garsinin lekulei, we don't go race all of this, hach girsa, the evarim uchmata deshin hacha, the questions from Evarim Mugdarim and Chumat Adeshin. Da, because before Mukmin and Lahubik Plugtayu the Rav Levi, Bavoda Shenachara Avodah. Because this is actually a Machoket Rav and Levi that we saw earlier. Rav and Levi argued about which Avodot are Chayav Mita. There, one of the principles was that Avodat Siluk, anything that has to do with removal or removal of an item, is not Chayav Mita. But then we had the Reboy and the Machoket as to whether that Reboy included Chumat Adeshin or not. So we had a machloket about whether Chumat Adeshin is Chayav Mita for Azar. So why would you be posing a question from it when it's subject to a machloket that we saw before? For that reason, Rashi eliminates it and says the only reason it's here is because Agav Shitva Deriata Degirsa Dela'el, because of the flow of the Gemara before. The Gemara before has Matkifla Rabbi Zera, and then they just pour on these questions. So the Gemara here, when it says the Ikadamre, just puts the questions in again, saying, okay, yeah, it's the same flow as the Gemara before. Barashi says it doesn't make sense. The Gemara agrees with that and eliminates the Girsa over here. Tosafot, on the other hand, comes up with a creative way to keep the Girsa in, and he says, Varei Evarim Mutarim. What about the Evarim Mutarim? What Tosafot says is, don't we have Avodot that are not Tamot, that are not complete, and yet there's a problem with them? For instance, Evarim Uptarim. Now, Evarim Uptarim, at least according to Tosafot, may be connected to Chumat Adeshin, because Evarim are done at night, and Chumat Adeshin is done at night. So it's an Avodah, Shiyesh Acharea Avodah. So if that's the case, so too over here. Why are you so surprised that when you have an Avodah, Acharea Avodah, that possibly could be a problem of Chiyuv Mita for a Zar? Because Evarim Uptarim is an example of that, where you have an Avodah that has another Avodah after it, and yet we see there's a Chiyuv Mita bizarre. So why are you so surprised here? So the Sidur Amaracha should be the same thing. The Sidur Amaracha, even though the Sidur Amaracha has followed by the Shnei Gizrei Itzim, that shouldn't be a problem. So the Gemara answer is that Sof Avodah de Yomamahi, that's the end of the day's work. And what Tosafot points out is that if something can be done during the day, and something can only be done at night, that indicates that they have no connection to each other. Evarim uptarim can be done during the day, and they can be done during the night. If they were left over from the day, they can be finished off at night. Trumat adeshen can only be done at night. So that tells you by definition that evarim uptarim has nothing to do with trumat adeshen. They're two separate things. And therefore, evarim uptarim is a sof avodah, or it is an avodah tama. If that's the case, you can't use that as an example against this idea of the sidur ha-maracha. And the Gemara will say the same thing by the Sidur Amaracha, because by the Sidur Amaracha is Kasher Belayla, and the Sidur Shnei Grizei Tzim is only Kasher Bayom. And so if that's the case, the Sidur Amaracha can be done at night and during the day. Sidur Shnei Grizei Tzim must be done during the day, because Baboker, Baboker. That's the case, they have nothing to do with each other, and the Sidur Amaracha is an Avodah Tama. So the Gemara answers that Sof Avodah de Yomamahi, that despite the fact that they look similar, that the Sidur Amaracha is separated from the Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim by night to day, and the Evarim Mutarim are separated from Trumat HaDeshen from day to night. Nevertheless, the Evarim Mutarim are unique because they are Sof Avodat HaYom, and so that's why it makes it an Avodat Tama, vis-a-vis the Maracha, that even though it's separated by day and night, will still be considered to be an Avodah Sheyesh Acharei Avodah. So that's how the first stage works. Then the next stage is, wait a minute, Varei Trumat HaDeshen. What about Trumat HaDeshen? Because Trumat HaDeshen is done, and then afterwards you have Hotzat HaDeshen. If Trumat HaDeshen, then Hotzat HaDeshen, that means Trumat HaDeshen is not an Avodah Tama. It's followed by the Hotzat HaDeshen. And Gemara answers that, no, they're different, because Trumat HaDeshen is Tchilat Avodah D'Yamamahi, that the Trumat HaDeshen is the beginning of the day's work. Because Trumat HaDeshen was something that was done daily, had to be done. On the other hand, Hotzat HaDeshen was optional, wasn't something that had to be done. So if Trumat HaDeshen is Tchilat Avodat Yom Mamahu, that means that Trumat HaDeshen stands alone, and Hotzat HaDeshen is also independent because it's done only some of the time. So Trumat HaDeshen is its own melacha. If that's the case, it's Avodat Tama. That Trumat HaDeshen versus Hotzat HaDeshen is different than the Sidur HaMaracha versus the Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim. So just like by the Trumat HaDeshen you can do it at night, and the Maracha you can do it at night, the Hotzat HaDeshen is done during the day, and the Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim is done during the day. So I would say, okay, they should be separate. Gemara says, no, you can't learn from that, because by Trumat HaDeshen it's different, because Trumat HaDeshen's connection to Hotzat HaDeshen is much weaker, because Hotzat HaDeshen is not done every day. Whereas the Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim is always done after the Sidur HaMaracha. And maybe they are connected. And the Gemara proves that Trumat HaDeshen is the beginning of the day's work, because Damar Rabbi Yochanan Kidesh Yadav L'Trumat HaDeshen, Mechar Yino Tzarich L'Kadesh, Shekvar Kidesh Mitzchilat Avodah. So you already start, that's the start of the day's process. Elakasho, that's a problem. So that's the way Tosafot reads it. He acknowledges at the end, he says, Kachni really the Freish Kirsat HaSfarim. I'm explaining what's there. Mi'u Rashi Lo Garsinan Le. Says, I know Rashi didn't keep it in. The way I explained it, it's really not a question what Rashi's question is. It's just difficult to explain it that way, but it's not a question that Rashi asked about Levi and Rab, because we're not really dealing with the issue of Chiyuv Mita. We're dealing with the issue of the connection between different Avodot. And the Gemara is asking from Evarim Mutarim and Trumat HaDeshen, which have connections to other Avodot. So then why over here do we not say the same thing? And the Gemara in each case indicates that Evarim Mutarim is independent, and so is Trumat HaDeshen, and they're different than the Sidur HaMaracha, which is connected to the Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim. That's the way Tosafot reads this. Then, Gemara has to amend the statement of Amar Rabasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Jezali Yitmar Hachi Yitmar. Amar Rabasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zayash Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim Chayav. Ho Ve'ovada Tamahi. Yesterday, they amended the Gersa to say, Eli Yitmar Hachi Yitmar. Amar Rabasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zayash Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim Chayav. Ho Ve'ovada Tiyomi. So there, Gemara changed it from Sidur HaMaracha to Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim. Sidur Maracha is done at night. Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim is done during the day. And that's how we solved our problem. The Gemara's question before was, do we ever have an avoda that's done at night that is considered an avoda? The Gemara's answer is no. We're not talking about an avoda at night. We're talking about the avoda during the day. We're talking about the Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim. Over here, the answer is, now we're talking about the Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim, Chayav, Hov Avodat Tamahi. But once you move to Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim, you're at the end of the process. I mean, Sidur Maracha has Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim afterwards, but Sidur Shnei Gezer Yitzim is done. That's it.
That's the border.
Right, that's the end, that's the line here. And so therefore, it's considered to be an Avodat Tama. Sumatki v'larov elemeato tibai bais. And then it should have its own lottery. If it's an Avodat Tama, then it's really significant. It should require its own pais. So Mara says, v'lo bai pais? Doesn't have its own pais? So here we have the person who got the pious for the Trumat HaDeshen also got the Shnei Gezer Yitzim. So there is a pious. It says, no, Hachi Kamar, Yifaisula Bifnei Atzma. Should have its own lottery. Now we did not ask this question in the previous Lishna, because the previous Lishna didn't give significance to the Avoda itself. It just said that it's an Avodat Yom. Okay, Avodat Yom requires pious. We have the pious that goes with the Trumat HaDeshen. Here we're saying that it's an Avodat Tama. We're giving the Avodat itself significance. Not just that it's during the day, but it itself is significant. If it's so significant, why doesn't it get its own lottery? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, Kida Amrinon. Like we said earlier. We said earlier, the reason they put it together with Trumat HaDeshen was they needed to incentivize the Kohanim to get up in the morning. And they couldn't do it by simply having a lot by the Trumat HaDeshen. Before, they used to race, so that was the incentive to get up. But once they eliminated that and made it a lottery, they saw that people weren't bothered to get up because they could lose the lottery. So the answer was they added in other bonuses to make it work. So true, it probably should have its own lottery, but because they wanted to create this bonus system, they put it together with the Trumat HaDeshen. Tosfot does ask over here, why doesn't Zrikat HaDam also have its own pious then? If you're telling me anytime something's significant, avodah, and it's taman, it's the end of something, then it should get its own pious. Now within the context before, you remember, Zaris Chayav Mitah for Zrikah, Zrikat HaDam, and Haktara on the Mizbeach, because that's an avodah taman. Now Zrikat HaDam was, even though afterwards was Haktara on the Mizbeach, so even though there was something after it, it's still considered to be an avodah taman, and significant enough to add your Chayav Mitah for it. If that's the case, why don't you throw a separate lot for it? So he says, Yesh Lamar, the Hidain Achra Abuda, the Fish Akhtarat Imurim Shachal Lomi Akve, the Zimin Deleta. He says, alright, it's not considered to be an Abuda Shiachacharach Abuda because, number one, Zrikat HaDam brings the Kapara. As we mentioned before when we discussed this, Zrikat HaDam brings the Kapara, and the Imurim are just a bonus afterwards. They're not really Achareha because even if they don't come, for example, they came Tamei, or something happened to the Imurim, you would still have the Zrikat HaDam. Right. Oh, you also can put them on at night later on. So for all of those reasons, Zrika stands by itself. But, Mikomakom, Kevin Techit, Nehu Ma'akev, Lo Chashivi Zrika B'fnei Atzma. So since when they are around, they are Ma'akev, and they have to be put on, so it's not enough to say that Zrikat HaDam is not an Avodat Tama, but it is enough to say that it doesn't get its own lottery, because together the whole package is what completes the process, if they're around. So if they're around in a normal circumstance, we would have the whole package, and that's why they have one lottery. That's how Tosafot answers the question. All right, so now the Gemara continues and asks, similar to it did before, which is the Memra, Davodat Tama, Vizar Chayav Lamita, Bai Pais. So you're telling me the qualifications to have a lottery means you have to be in Avodat Tama, and a Zar has to be Chayav Mita on it. Ein Zar Chayav Lamita, Lo Bai Pais. If a Zar is not Chayav Mita, it does not require a Pais. Same question that we had in the previous Amud, when the Gemara asks the same thing. There, the Gemara is asking, oh, you're telling me that Avodat Yom plus Zar Chayav Lamita is the qualifications for a pious? Vare Shechita. What about Shechita? Shechita has a pious on it. In the previous Amud, that's a problem because a Zar can do Shechita. And yet there is a pious that's associated with it. Over here, the same thing. A Zar is Kasher, and Shechita is done by a Zar, and yet it has a pious. Shani Shechita, Tichilat Avodah D'Yamamahi. Because Shechita is the beginning of the day Avodah. Now that's interesting. The Gemara before said it's Tichilat Avodahi. It's the beginning of an Avodah, not Tichilat Avodah D'Yamamahi. So whether the Yamamahi really belongs, or it's because of the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid is the beginning of the day's Avodah, the Shechita. So therefore it's included in the pious. But the real concept is that Shechita is the beginning of the processing of the Tamid, and therefore it's included in that pious, not because Zar, not Zar, it's part of that broader package of everything that's together with the Korban HaTamid.
The pious for the Shechita comes before the Shechita, after the Zar ever do it. So the Kohen has already been designated to do it.
Right, but that's because that's the Korban HaTzibur. By the Korban HaTamid, they threw a lot for it. But if a Zar comes in and says, I want this Kohen to do it and I want to do the Shechita, then he has that right to designate in that way. By Korban Yachid, he could make that determination that a Zar could do it. Right, before any pious is done. Now, Rashi thinks that if the individual brings his korban and does not designate or specify a kohen, that they do a pious even if we're korbanot yachid. And there again, maybe you would have a kohen end up doing the shechita because of that. Again, it's kasher bizar. Now, the Gemara will ask, you know, in other cases, how do we deal with kasher bizar? Like what was asked yesterday, oh, how can he go up on the mizbeach? How can he do certain things? The Gemara talks about, well, he could have a long rod and he can move things on the mizbeach without going up on the mizbeach. Right, the Gemara is unwilling to accept the fact that a Zar would actually go onto the Mizbeach, even though entertained yesterday with the Eish. Zar should be kosher Eish. That's that. Well, who would let a Zar onto the Mizbeach? The answer is, we've come up with innovative ways to have him do it without actually going up on the Mizbeach. But nevertheless, a Zar is kosher Shechita. The question of when he was used, that's a separate issue. But as long as there's a pious here, it sounds like a Kohen is going to take the Shechita, and that would be the default, that a Kohen does it. Kosher Bazar, but practically we mostly have Kohanim doing the Shechita. Now, Rashi again eliminates the girsa over here. He says, this girsa from the Memra, Ad Shemasa Shehaya, doesn't belong. The Gra acquiesces to that as well, that this doesn't belong here. But again, it's following somewhat along the lines of the previous Gemara, which is Lememra, the Avodat Tamah Bayi Pais. Tell me that Avodat Tamah always needs Pais. Avodat Sheyesh Achra Avodat Lo Bayi Pais. Avodat that has another Avodat after it doesn't ring. Parei Avarim Darim. What about Avarim Darim? Why do they need a Pais? So Mar says, so if Avodat Yomamai Parei Chumat Adeshin, that's Meshum Maisa Shehaya. So by Chumat Adeshin is Maisa Shehaya, you're right. There is Avodat after it. But nevertheless, it gets a pious because it's a unique circumstance. And Avarim Darim are an Avodat Tamah because of the end of the day's work. They're not connected to Trumat HaDeshen and so on and so forth. Rashi eliminates the Girsa because it seems to be an unnecessary question that's being posed over here. We first of all know this information already, and it doesn't seem to flow with the remainder of the Gemara. It just seems to be caught in from the Girsa of the previous Gemara. Tamar Mar Zutra, V'Tamar Avashi, Afana Namitanina. We also have a Mishnah that supports this idea that Shnei Gizrei Tzim is an Avodat Tamah. So Amar Lahem Emune, Tzuru'u, Im Higi Azman HaShchita. Go ahead and see if the time for Shchita has come. Bilus Man Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim, Lo Ketani. The Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim, he doesn't ask about it. So what would be the Havamina? We actually had this earlier in the Gemara, as the question of whether the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim is Chayav Mita. Rabbi Yochanan says yes. Levi and Rav say no. Why do Rav and Levi say that that's not the case, that Shnei Gizrei Tzim is not Chayav Mita, not Avodat Tamah, because they say there's something after it, which is the Sidur Evarim. They have to put Verchu, B'nei Aron HaKohanim, but the Netachim. They have to put the pieces of the Korban onto the wood. So for them is Sidur Maracha, followed by Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim, which is followed by Sidur Evarim. That's already Haktara. Haktara, everybody agrees, is Chayav Mita. So Rav and Levi say that Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim also does not have a Chayav Mita, and is also not an Avodat Tamah. Their basic point is that there's something afterwards, which is Sidur Evarim. What the Mishnah seems to prove is that, well, let's look at this carefully. If the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim is connected to the Evarim that are afterwards, then it should also have this requirement of making sure it was done during the daytime. Over here, where we say, oh, he's not mentioned about the Shechita, although checking is whether the Shechita is on time. Why aren't they checking to whether the Shnei Gizrei Tzim are on time? Must be that the Shnei Gizrei Tzim is Sof Avodat Halayla. That's the end of the night. And as Tosva points out, even though it says Baboker, Baboker, we will learn it like we did before, which is Baboker means morning. Baboker, Baboker means Tain Od Bokro Lalayla. Give it another Boker into the night, meaning move it earlier, not into the daytime. So based on that, you would say that the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim is the end of the nighttime of Oda. Shechita is the beginning of the daytime of Oda. Once you've done that, you've made Shnei Gizrei Tzim into a Avodah Tamah. And this would be a support for Rabbi Yochanan's position that Shnei Gizrei Tzim is an Avodah Tamah. The Gemara answers like we saw yesterday, which is, Hach, the late Leitakant Oktani, Adit Leitakant Oktani. They needed to know when it was daybreak also for the Shnei Gizrei Tzim. Well, once you put the Shnei Gizrei Tzim into the daytime, then the Evarim Darim are relevant to it because they also succeed. And then you don't have this break between night and day to say that they're separate. Rather like Rav and Levi, possibly, that they're all one continuous Avodah. It's Avodah Sheyesh Achra Avodah. So why aren't they mentioned in our Mishnah, which we're about to read? Because it's not so relevant. The whole reason that they asked about daybreak was a precautionary measure. We said before that you can rectify it. If you put them on the Mizbech, you just take them off and put them back on again. So since you can rectify it, it wasn't such a big deal. They got it right most of the time. One time they had a problem, and then they made this precautionary measure. By Shechita, which is irreversible, there we made it a big deal. But by the Shnei Gizrei Tzim, it's not a big deal, even though it's still true, the Shnei Gizrei Tzim. So Rabbi Yochanan in the end says that Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim, you are Chayav Mita for it. First of all, it's an Avodah Tamah, and it's Avodat Yom, according to the previous Girsa of the Gemara. And we had the questions that we had, and we separated between all the other items and this Avodah of the Shnei Gizrei Tzim. Right, Hadron Alach, Verishona, it's the end of the second parak. Now we move into the third parak. And we're going to discuss exactly what we've been discussing until now, which is the morning wake-up. So here the Mune says to them, now, who the Mune is? Rashi always says he's the Skan. He's the Skan Kohen, that is the Mimune. Others think that the Mune is Mune ala Paisot, who's not necessarily the Skan Kohen. It doesn't have to be the two are the same, it might be different jobs. Tzuru'u im higi azman shchita. Instructs one of the Kohanim to go see whether Zman Shchita has come. Im higi, if it has come, Haro'e Omer Barkai, the one who sees it, who went up and climbed up to the roof, who climbed up the wall to see it, says Barkai, like the word Barak, Barak like lightning, but means light. There's light out there. Matatio or Matio Ben Shmuel, depends on the girsa here. Omer Herir Pneir Kol Mizrach Ad Shebechevron. And it's not clear who's speaking here. Has a sky lit up all the way until Chevron. V'omer hein, and he says yes. So the question of how the conversation goes, we'll discuss in the Gemara, but there's some exchange between the Mimuneh and the person who climbed up the wall, who's speaking, we'll discuss, but they're discussing at least not just Barkai, is it light out, but here, Kol Bnei HaMizrach, is the entire eastern side lit up until Hebron, all the way until Hebron. You're standing in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is north of Hebron. Bnei HaMizrach would be towards the Yarden, towards Jordan. So when he says to him, here, Bnei HaMizrach, Ad Hebron, means all the way south to Hebron. Not just a little bit, but across the whole horizon has it opened up. Why do we mention Hebron? Rashi mentions it in the Gemara later on, from the Yerushalmi, is to be Maskir Yishenei Hebron. Bring in the Zechut Avot. Hebron is not significant here in terms of how far it went. It's significant because Hebron is in itself significant that the Avot are found there. So to mention the Avot is a nice thing in the beginning of the day. These are different times. The latter one, obviously, Mataji ben Shmuel, is a later time because he doesn't just need to be light. He wants it ad Shir Mizrach v'Hebron. That's one possibility. The other possibility is he just wants to mention Hebron. But it seems like his time is a later period of time. Why did they go through all of this process? Why was it necessary? One time the moon came up, the light of the moon came up. They thought it was the beginning of day. They did Shechita Tamid. And they had to take it out to the Beit Srifa because it was Pasul, because it was too early. Now the mission moves on to what they're doing during the day after they did this. What happened? At that point they moved the Kohen Gadol. It's the beginning of the day, so they take him down to the Beit Vila. Zechal, Hayab Migdash. You want to know what the way that worked in the Migdash? Kol Meisech et Raglav Toun Tvila. Anyone who defecates has to go to the mikveh. Now Meisech et Raglav. The word Meisach is used in Eruvin, for instance, by a tree. A tree that spreads out. Meisach alaretz is running on the ground, shades on the ground. So as Rashi explains over here, et Meisach Raglav is someone who is defecating has to bend down, and they are shading over the ground in that way. They are ahil on the ground when they do that. And he quotes the source from Shaul. When David is chasing Shaul, Shaul goes into the Ma'ara to relieve himself. And there it uses the same terminology of Meisach. So there they need to be la'vachol matil mayim. Anybody urinates, don't kiddush yadayim ve'raglayim. Requires kiddush yadayim ve'raglayim. So that was the procedure in the Mikdash with regards to people who went to relieve themselves. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Barak Barkai. The person who went up there, they asked him, what does it look like? He says, Barak Barkai, the light has a lit, or it's light out there. We give Omer Allah Barkai. As Rashi points out, that's more than Barak. It's more than simply it's light out. The light has come up, so it's a later period of time. Nechuma ben of Kishion, Omer Af Barkai b'Chevron. It's even light all the way till Chevron. So he has something akin to Matachi or Matya ben Shmuel that he mentions Chevron here. Then Matya ben Shmuel or Matachi ben Shmuel Mumuneh al Paisot Omer Ha'ir Pnei Kol Mizrach Ach b'Chevron. So the Mumuneh al Paisot says has it gone all the way until Chevron. Behuda b'mter Omer Hinir Yer Kol Pnei Mizrach Ad b'Chevron. Did the whole Mizrach light up until Chevron? Ve'etzu Kol Am Ish Ish L'Machto, and everybody's gone to start to go to work. I mean, they worked when the light came up, so it's daybreak, so people are going to work. It says, Iachi Nagale Tuva. That's too late. That's way too light. People are already going to work way beyond the time that we need to wait. It says, no, Liskor Palim Gamirinan. It means not that people are going to work. It's the Balabait who wants to hire laborers when he goes out to hire his laborers. That's already, it's a little earlier. He has to go early to get the people, and that's before that time that everybody goes out. So that's before daylight because he has to get the workers to start at daybreak. So that's earlier on. So now, the Gemara has here a sequence of opinions that are later and later. Obviously, each one of them is asking for more light to be there. The question of certainty. How certain do you want to be in terms of the light? Mentioning Chevron has that dual side to it. As mentioned, Rashi Kadela Zikir Zchut Avot Maskirin Chevron. But also, each of the opinions successively asks for more light. And that's a question of how much certainty do we want in terms of it being daybreak. Amar of Safra. Tzlote de Abraham michishachrei katle. The tzlote of Abraham, the tefillah of Abraham, is when the walls turn black. So now we're talking about here, tefillat mincha. Tefillat mincha, the Gemara seems to indicate here, is when the sun comes up on the eastern side, that's when it rises. If you have a wall, the eastern face of that wall will be lit as long as the sun is on the eastern side of the horizon, the sky. And that changes when it switches over to the west. When does it switch over to west? At noon. At noontime, if you have a wall that is vertical, so until noontime, the wall will have light from the sun because the sun is to the east of that wall. as soon as the sun is at noon, is mid-sky, then the sun will be beating down directly on the top of the wall, but the wall, the side of the wall, will not be dark anymore. And obviously, as it moves to the west, that will continue, and the western side of the wall. Correct. This is a wall that's leaned up exactly north-south, and then you look from the east-west, that's what we're asking here. That would be at noontime. Now, there are a number of issues that have to be addressed here. One is, why is that called Tfilat Abraham when we're talking about Tfilat Amincha? We know that the Gemara in Brachot says that Tfilat Amincha tikna Yitzchak. That Yitzchak was the one who was mitakein Tfilat Amincha and not Abraham. So why don't you say Tzlotei de Yitzchak? Why are you saying Tzlotei de Abraham? So there are a number of answers given here. One of them is simply, our Gemara argues on the Gemara in Brachot. Gemara in Brachot says Mincha was established by Yitzchak. The Gemara here says it was established by Abraham. The other possibilities are that Yitzchak was the one who was koveyayit, and he was the one who made it into something that everybody did. Abraham daven mincha every day, but he didn't make everybody daven mincha, it was just him. But then Yitzchak came and made it a kavua that everybody in his household daven mincha. That was his innovation in mincha. Not that Abraham didn't daven mincha, but Abraham was already davening mincha. Just Yitzchak made it into a permanent, established it as a mincha for everyone. Whereas Abraham did that for Shafarit. The last possibility is that it's Lotei to Abraham after Yitzchak did it. That once Yitzchak davened mincha, then Abraham picked up the minhag as well. And he also davened at that time. And that's why it's called Lotei to Abraham, because Abraham's the first of the avot. Number of answers given there. The second thing is something that we discussed already earlier in the Masechtot, because this comes up in a number of places, which is, when is the Iker Zman of Mincha? According to this Gemara and the way that Rashi explains it, the Iker Zman of Mincha is at noontime. And we know that Mincha Gdola is really at 12:30.
Yeah, but don't we say that it takes a half hour?
The Gemara is going to discuss that in 1 second. That's an answer given by the Gemara in terms of the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. But what you see from that answer of the Gemara is that, at least the way the Gemara is set up here, that the Iker Din is at noon. Mincha is really at noon. But because of the nature of the walls and the Mikdash, which we'll discuss in a second, they made it at 12:30. But Mi'ikar Din, you could really daven Mincha from noontime. That obviously has nafkamino d'alocha, which is, why do we wait until 12:30? If you think that we wait till 12:30 is because in the Beit HaMikdash, that was the way it went. All right, but that's because the Beit HaMikdash, the walls in the Beit HaMikdash were unique. Just because they're unique, does that mean that that becomes a permanent time for Mincha? Yeah, okay, that would be the proper time for Mincha, but not necessarily the Iker's mind, and possibly you could daven from noon. If you say that, which happened in the Mikdash, is basically, as you suggested, David, that is the way it works, that the wall doesn't become dark on that side until you traverse the mid part of noon, and until you reach 12:30, you haven't moved far enough along that the sun is still touching the eastern side of the wall, then that's true all the time, and Mincha wouldn't start. Or, you could say, so in the Mikdash, since the Korban HaTamid is the determining factor for Mincha, if the Korban Tamid is not brought before 12:30, we don't daven Mincha before 12:30 because Tfilot Keneged Tmidim, Keneged Korbanot. The Tfilot Keneged Korbanot, the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim is only done starting at 12:30 and onward, which we know from Marim Sachim on Erev Pesach, that's Erev Shabbat, they started early. Because of that, we did it. Yeah, maybe Abraham or Yitzchak davened earlier, and the Gemara will give other answers for that, why they did daven earlier, but maybe that doesn't affect us necessarily.
Isn't there, they remember in Brachos,
Right, so the Gemara in Brachot mentions you should daven in the morning, vatikin, with the dumdumei chama, and then in the evening, right before sunset. There, the Gemara brings down, says, layetaleh, first anybody who davened at that time, because it's so risky. So risky because you can miss it. So now, the Iker Zman is Mincha Ktano, and that is true, that there might be a preference for davening Mincha Ktano, which is at 9:33 and 3:30 in the afternoon and onward, Shaud Zmaniot, because that was the Iker Zman of the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim during most of the year. Mincha Gdola is only Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim on these unusual occurrences when we moved it up. So that's why there might be a preference for davening Mincha Ktana versus Mincha Gdola. People's preference to daven Mincha Gdola is exactly the problem, which is fear of missing Mincha later on. If you're involved in things and you can't daven, if you daven Mincha Gdola, you're certain that you daven. Otherwise, you risk getting involved and not davening. So there is some of a preference given to Mincha Ktana. Whether you have to daven right at Shkia is subject to that machloket Amoraim, and we generally dissuade people from davening right at the edge so that they don't get into trouble. But the Mincha Ktana definitely has a preference over Mincha Gdola, but the reason people daven Mincha Gdola is for the same reason that they don't want to daven right before the Shkia. Right, so now the Gemara asks a question, Amar Rav Yosef, Anam Avram Nikum Benigmar? We should learn from Abraham. Now this question is a loaded question. What does that mean? We should learn from Abraham. So Rashi says the problem is Abraham was super Jew. Because he was a Mr. Zoris. So just because he's Mr. Zoriz, we have to be Zrizim? I mean, he wanted to do everything right at the second that it starts, but just because of that, we are going to be Noheg to do exactly like Abraham. That's Rabbi Yosef's question, according to Rashi. Rashi says, Abraham is a unique individual. We're going to make that the process for the Hamunam, that they should all emulate Abraham in this way. I mean, it's nice, but you can't demand that people do that because that's a little bit much. That's one way to ask the question. Rabbeinu Chanano has a different view of this. He says, Ve'en lanu l'mod min minhag hanevi'im. El kagon Daniel kiyotze bom p'nei shenagu k'alacha l'moshe misinai achrei shenat Torah. Basically, when you have a minhag nevi'im, you can say that it is based on a practice that was halacha l'moshe misinai. Obviously, the nevi'im cannot be mechadesh new halachot, but nevi'im, if they have a practice, we take that significantly, or we give significance to it, because it's post-matan Torah. So post-matan Torah means, okay, it's not written explicitly in the Torah, but there's some Masorah, there's a possibility of a Masorah of Halacha Moshe Misinai. Abraham, which is pre-Halacha Moshe Misinai, you can't have Halacha Le'Abraham Misinai. I mean, there's no such concept. So how do you learn something from Abraham? Just because he has a minhag doesn't mean that it has significance within the Halacha. If it doesn't have significance in the halacha, so then why are you bringing that as the basis for davening mincha at that time? It doesn't have significance because it's pre-matan Torah, as I already mentioned before. Avram's not quote-unquote Jewish. Pre-matan Torah, so how could you learn something from him? That's the way the Rabbeinu Chanano, that's the way the Maariv Kiyut reads the Rabbeinu Chanano. The Rabbeinu Tam, brought here in the Tosfot Yeshanim, asks it in a slightly different way, which is, Rabbeinu Tam Beis, Shana Amram, Nikum and Igmar, Valo, Chetzi, Sheish, Vachazi, Sheva, Chamo, Medet, Berosh, Kol Adam. Vein Zman, Tfila, Adayin. Says, why are you going to learn from Abraham? We know that we don't start bringing the Qurban Tamid until 6.5 hours on the day. So, if Abraham davens at noon, and we know that Mincha starts 6.5 hours on the day, then why do we have to reconcile with Abraham? It's one thing if it's a minhag that Abraham has, and that practice continues afterwards. Then we can ascribe significance to it. But if Abraham had a practice of davening mincha at noon, and we don't practice that way, we only daven mincha at 12:30, then why should Abraham have any significance over here? Why should he have any bearing? Because we see that it changed, or something's different, and then Abraham's minhag is not relevant. So those are the three different ways to see the question of Rav Yosef. Amar Rava, and obviously that will affect what Rava's answer is, Tana Gamar Mi Avram Banana Lo Gamina Mine. We have a Brito or a Tana that learns from Avram, and we shouldn't learn from him. The Tanya Ubiyom Ashmini Mo Basara Loto. On the 8th day, you have to give a Brit Milah. Malamei Shekol Yom Kasher LeMilah teaches you that the entire day is Kasher LeMilah. Ella Shuzizim Makdimin the Mitzvot. That a person with Zariz does the Mitzvah early. Shemamar Pasuk says Veishkem Avram BaBoker. Now, what comes afterwards is subject to Machloket. There are two times that we have Vayishkem Avraham Baboker. One time is Vayishkem Avraham Baboker is by stone. After, when Avram gets up in the morning, it's good the place that he stood before. I mean, that after he had argued with Hashem, then he's Vayishkem Avraham Baboker to see what had happened. Then we have Vayishkem Avraham Baboker is also by the Akedah. The pasuk that's quoted over here is obviously Vayishkem Avraham Baboker by Yechavoshet Chamuro is referring to the Akedah. Although you can see here from the Aleph and the Bach, that he changes it. He says it should read, Vashkim Avram Boker, Elamakom Asher Amad Sham Et Pnei Hashem. But Avram gets up in the morning, he says it's the wrong Vashkim Avram Boker. Tosafot says that the Gemara actually learns out from both of them. Tosafot on the bottom of the previous Amud says that Vashkim Avram Boker teaches us two different dinim. There's one din is that you're not allowed to go out Yechidi Balayla. You're not allowed to go out alone at night. How do we know that? Vashkim Avram Boker. Avram got up in the morning. He got up early in the morning. Why did he get in the morning? Because you can't go Yitzei Yechidi Balayla. Now that has application by the case by Yishkem Avram Baboker, the pasuk bought by the Bach here. That's relevant. Because over there, Avram was not a suk b'mitzvah. He wasn't involved in a mitzvah. And therefore he wasn't afforded the protection of a person who's a shliach mitzvah. So since he didn't have that protection, he waited until the morning to get up. On the other hand, by Yishkem Avram Baboker, by the Akedah, he was a shliach mitzvah. So if he's a shliach mitzvah, shluchei mitzvah, einu nizokin.
He wasn't alone. He had
something. Oh, plus he had, right, his na'arav ito. It's the na'arim that went with him, and because of that, he didn't have this problem of getting up yechidi balayla. So then why vayashkem Avram baboker? What does that come to teach you? That's vizim yakdim in the mitzvot, but that only means from the beginning of the day. Doesn't mean at night. To start from the daytime. The mitzvah is during the day. Vizim yakdim in the mitzvot. It's one of the things that's very strange practice in Eretz Yisrael, that many people have a brit milah in the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael. Very strange practice because the whole thing is learned out of Avram Avinu, who is the Av HaMilah, And from there, we know, you see Magdim in the Mitzvot, though you get up early in the morning to do it right away. And yet the practice of many in Eretz Yisrael is to do the Brit Milah in the afternoon, despite that, which is very strange, given the context in which it's said, and the Gemara in general, about Zvizim Makdim in the Mitzvot.
By the Akedah, yes,
the Mitzvah. Oh, no, because there, by Yeshkem Arvam HaBoker, was the Daven. He got up to Daven, that's where we learn out that he's Metakin Shachrit. By Yeshkem Arvam HaBoker, Yeshkem Arvam HaBnei Hashem, so he's getting up to Daven Shachrit. So he is doing a Mitzvah, and he got up to Daven Shachrit right away, in the morning, by Yeshkem Arvam HaBoker. That was why it would be Zvizim Makdim in the Mitzvot over there. Right, but that's his own mitzvah. Hashem didn't ask him to do that. That's Avram himself getting up to do it. So it's different than a command to do something. Alright, so now, the answer to the question will depend on what you thought the question was. According to Rashi, the question was, wait, are we going to learn out from Avraham these midot, because he's Superman? The answer is yes. We have a braita that says, that's Rizim Dautim the mitzvah. We learn out of Avraham, even though Avraham is an unusual character. Despite that fact, we use that as a basis for learning out mitzvot. So why not over here as well? Right, the way that the question is posed by the Rabbeinu Chananu, which is, the answer is, well, we see that we learn out from him, even though it was pre-Matan Torah. The answer might be there. You have to differentiate between when it poses a stirat, what we know, and not a stirat, what we know, but we learn from him, even though he's pre-Matan Torah. And for the Rabbeinu Tam, which is, wait a minute, we have this avoda that we do at 12:30, so why do we have to listen to Abraham? Well, we do listen to Abraham because we have Tanaim that listen to Abraham. So we have to give significance, or we have to reconcile then with Abraham and our practice. So now the Gemara says, Elam Arava, Rav Yosef HaKakashalei. This is why Rav Yosef has a question to Tan. Chal Arvei Pesachim Liot B'Erev Shabbat. Erev Pesach that falls out on Erev Shabbat. Nishkat B'Sheishu Mechza V'Karei B'Shevo Mechza. They brought the Korban HaTamid at 6.5 hours on the day and finished it off by the 7.5 hours a day. That's because they need to get all the Korban Pesach in after the Tamid Shel Ben Arvayim. Plus they have to roast them prior to Shabbat, because the roasting of the Korban Pesach is not Dochet to Shabbat. V'Nishkatei Michi She'achrei Kaleh. So if Avram's right, then why are we waiting until 6.5 hours on the day? Why don't we do it at 6 hours on the day? Why don't we do it at noon? My kushya. What's the question? Maybe the kodlim of the Beit Mikdash only become darkened at 6.5 hours a day. They are not so mekuvan. Now, mekuvan generally means they're not so straight. It's a possibility. They were very large walls. They were wide at the base, and they tapered towards the top. How they tapered means that they're not exactly upright or vertical. Because of the tapering, that caused the sun to fall on the eastern side longer than it should have.
Shadowing.
Right, so the shadow doesn't cross over that line until it passes to 12:30 because of the nature of the tapering of the wall. Or, no mekavnei tuva, could also be that they're not exactly aligned north-south, they're not perfectly aligned north-south. And so because of that, you have the problem of the crossing over the noontime, which would not work exactly in that manner. Inami, shani avram did stagnidut gdola haita bilibo. He was a big astrologer. As Rashi writes it over here, so that he was the one who knew exactly when it was noon. Right, so here it would be more astronomer than astrologer. Although Stignut is generally used as astrology, but the two are connected. And he knew the movement of the stars, so he knew exactly when it was noon. So he could perfect that time. For us, it's just a question, we can't perfect that time, so we used a buffer of a half an hour. Again, that has significance in what we discussed before is, when's the Iker Zman HaMincha? Does mincha really start from noon and we're just buffering because we're not certain? But if we were certain, maybe you could daven from noon, according to this answer. That he was a zaken yoshev b'shiva, and therefore, he knew the halacha. He was a baki b'halacha. Forget about a baki in astronomy, he was a baki in halacha, and he knew exactly when noon was, and how to calculate it into daven at noon. But not everybody's a baki in halacha, so again, we create a buffer for people, a half an hour buffer, so that we don't get into trouble. Again, the same problem that which is connected to our Gemara over here, which is they buffered in the morning in order that they won't be a problem. They waited for a certain amount of light to come up, so they were certain that it was morning. So same thing in the afternoon. How do we know it's past noon? We wait a little bit extra, so we know for certain we're past noon, so we don't have problems. That might apply, even if you think Iker Zman HaMincha is at noon, we don't want you davening at noon because of that problem that people mix up, and which is true. If you told me you could daven at noon, we'd have people davening at 11:55, we'd always have that problem. Once you say 12:30, then when people dive in around 12:30, they're not going to miss noon. They're definitely going to be afternoon, and then you'll be okay. But it does is that Mincha Gdola is a buffer to protect against noon. It's not a buffer for Mincha Gdola itself. It means that if you start a minute before, you might be yotze. Again, that aloha, when the Chachamim institute something like this, or they mafkir your right to do other things or do it beforehand. All right, now the Gemara says, once we're on this topic of Zaken Yoshev B'Shiva, Da Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Rabbi Chanina Mimem Shalabotenu Lo Parsha Yeshiva Mehem. The yeshiva never left them. Ayub Mitzrayim Yeshivayim Mehem. When they were in Mitzrayim, they had a yeshiva, Shneimar Lech, Vasafta Zikne Yisrael. Says the Moshe, go get the Zikne Yisrael. Where were all the Zikne Yisrael sitting around? They were in the yeshiva. Ayub Mitzrayim Yeshivayim Mehem. When they were in Mitzrayim, they also had a yeshiva, Shneimar, Esvedli Yeshivim Ish from Zikne Yisrael. But even though this is in Bamidbar, which is after Matan Torah, so it's not really a proof, as Tosfot Yishanim points out over here, you could have brought another pasuk. There are other pesukim that show that there were zakenim before that time, even before Matan Torah. And so the Gemara just bring one proof that there were zakenim sitting around. Doesn't matter when it brought it from. Avram Avinu zaken v'yashev b'shiva avash never v'avram zaken baba yamim. That Avram was zaken baba yamim. So what does that mean, zaken? What is the significance of being a zaken? That he's a zaken v'yashev b'shiva. Yitzchak Avinu zaken v'yashev b'shiva shneamar v'yiki zaken Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu zaken v'yashev b'shiva shneamar v'yini Yisrael kavdu mizoken. So the fact that the Torah points out that they all became zakenim. Zakenim in the Torah is associated with chacham, someone who is due respect, someone who is a teacher. So the zaken that's referred to here is a teacher, is a leader of the yeshiva, leader of teaching Torah. Eliezer ben Avram zaken b'yoshev yeshiva yash nemar, v'yomer Avram elavdo zaken beito, that he says to his eved, the elder of his household, hamoshel b'chol ha'shelo, the one who takes care of all of his items. Amar Rabbi Elazar, shemoshel b'torat rabo. What does it mean, moshel b'chol ha'shelo? Doesn't mean his possessions, it means with his Torah of Avraham Avinu. That's what it means. Who? Domestic Eliezer, which would normally mean he's from Damascus. Domestic Eliezer, Amar Abelazar, Shodulea Mashkeh Mitorato Shel Rabo Le'Acherim. He sees that as an acronym. Domestic means Doleh Umashkeh. It's a combination of the words of Doleh Mashkeh. He drew out and drank from the Torah of his Rebbe, who was Avraham, and he taught that to others. Amarav, Kiyem Avraham Avinu Tkola Torah Kula. Avram kept the whole Torah, Shneamar. Ekev asher shema Avram bikuli. Obviously, it's missing the end of the pasuk, which is the significant part of it, which is also Ishmor mitzvotai v'to rotai. So over there it mentions the Torah. Amar lei Rav Shimi barchia the Rav Rav, ema sheva mitzvot. Who says he kept the whole Torah? He kept the mitzvot that were available at that time, which is the Shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach. Ha'ikanami milah. So Avram had an additional mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of milah. He says, ema sheva mitzvot milah. So okay, fine, he kept eight mitzvot. Then, otherwise, you have too much information here. It's Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli. That's one. Then Torotai and Mitzvotai. There's too many descriptions over here of things that he's keeping. What are all these items over here? So Amar either Rova Vitema Rav Ashi Kiyem Avraham Avinu Afilu Eruvei Tavshilin. He even kept the mitzvah of Eruv Tavshilin. Shemar Torotai Achat Torah Shebichtav Achat Torah Shebealpeh. Torah Shebichtav Torah Shebealpeh. Eruvei Tavshilin. Now, even though Eruvei Tavshilin, it's not clear that it's part of Torah Shebaal Peh either, quote-unquote, meaning that it's not Doraita. It's most likely Derabanan, Eruv Tavshilin. And if Eruv Tavshilin is mean Derabanan, then he's keeping even Dinei Derabanan. The Gemara is getting that out of Torotai in plural, which is Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh being viewed as more broad, not just the oral tradition, but the oral tradition, including the mitzvot Derabanan. Now, there are others that have a different gears over here. Some change the gears to Eruv Chatzerot. And the Maritz Chiyut wants to change it to Eruv Tchumin. He wants to change it to Eruv Tchumin because the pasuk says, Ekev Esher Shema Avraham, Bekoli. Ekev is the heel. So it's a mitzvah that you do with your heel. What's a mitzvah you do with heel? Eruv Tchumin. Otherwise, what's the significance of Eruvei Tavshilin? Why is that mitzvah, the mitzvah kala that they picked, that he kept this, Eruv Tavshilin? Why is that significant at all? You could pick many mitzvot that are kalot, that are drabanan that you could have picked. Otherwise, why is there significance? So the Maritz Chiyut wants to change it to give it significance. Others say Eruv Chatzerot. Again, it's interesting. The other thing that's important over here is, did they really keep the mitzvah? What is the Gemara saying over here? So there are machlokot in the Rishonim. If you look at Rishonim ala Torah, there they discuss exactly what this Torotai is. What does Torot mean? The word Torah in the Torah itself is not clear what it means. Torotai does not always mean Torah in the sense that we use it, because it's used all over Sefer Vayikra, Zot Torat, Aula, Zotorata Mincha. Over there, Torah clearly doesn't mean the whole Torah, right? Zotorata Chatat. It means the process or the rules, the procedures given there. So Torah does not always mean Torah in the true sense. Here the Gemara is definitely darshaning it that way, but Torah in the Torah does not mean, like we phrase it as Torah, it means procedures or commands that Hashem gave. And that would accord more with the original assumption that it deals with Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach or the Yom HaShmini. Most, a lot of the Rishonim, and this is echoed in the, what we see from the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Maritz Chiyut, and then the Chazon Ish really took it to its full extent, is that when it comes to the Avot, what they did has significance. So that when we say they kept the Torah, what we're trying to say is that what they did is not irrelevant to us just because they came before Matan Torah. Yes, in terms of halacha, pure halacha, normative halacha, maybe the avot have no bearing on normative halacha because they're pre-matan Torah. On the other hand, in terms of their actions and the way they conducted themselves, that does have significance to us. That might mean that they were in yeshiva, they had the Torah, they kept the Torah, which is that we have to look to them as our paradigms, role models for behaviors, like Zrizim Maktim in the Mitzvot. And that's what the Chazon Ish says, that many times the Torah repeats a type of behavior over and over again. It never explicitly says that this is a din. But the fact that the Torah keeps emphasizing this din tells us that the Torah thinks it's significant. So like by the Avot, that Chesed is considered to be something that is significant. It's because we have all these stories of Chesed, care for others, concern for others, those types of things. Since the Torah and the Masei Avot mentions them, that tells us that that's something we want to emulate in the Avot. That's something that is significant and to be considered by the Torah. And that might be what this whole sub is about over here. It's not about normative halacha. It's about the practices of the Avot are significant to us. And the fact that the Torah writes them is not just irrelevant. We can't just skip to Parsha Bo and start with the Mitzvot. Everything until Bo is also significant. And how people conduct themselves. And all those stories are not just children's stories. They're stories that have bearing on us and how we conduct our lives, that we want to emulate the Avot and how they conduct themselves vis-a-vis the world. The Gemara says, Matatya ben Shmuel Amar, v'hu Amar Hain, Man Amar Hain. Who said yes over here? From Matatya ben Shmuel, it's not clear what happened. Ilem hachtakaya igra, the one up top said, I mean, the guy who climbed up to see, he's the one who says yes. Hu chalim hu mefasher. He has the dream, and he interprets the dream, because he's the one who says the information, and then he says yes. So the Gemara says, Ela hachtakaya ara. The person on the ground says yes. So the Gemara says, Minayodo, how can he answer the question yes? The question's posed, and then he says yes. What do you mean? The guy's on the ground, he can't see. Some say it's the guy on the ground. It's the one who's up on the roof looking. It's the one on the roof. He says that the whole eastern side light up. And the person down below says, Ad shebe Chevron. Until Chevron, meaning that there is a back and forth. He says, Hayir kol ben Izrach. The guy down below says, Ad shebe Chevron? Did it reach Chevron? Barmalay, hein. And he answers, yes, that is the case. Iyu hein. Vi bay tema. Hachtakai ara. It's the one on the ground who says hein. Amar iyu hayir ben kol Mizrach. So he says, the whole Mizrach is lit up. Barmalay. So the responder on the roof says, Ad shebe Chevron. It's already reached Chevron. It's a statement, right? Not a question. Amalay, hein. He says, yeah? Yeah, in the rhetorical sense, that, yes, okay, then we're ready to start. If you said it's until Chevron, then we're ready to go. All right, we'll stop over here.